TV.
Been talking about all the videos available to you, members of the Body of Christ, and beyond. Don't forget there are audios, over 400 audios on my website, free for the taking. Go to my homepage, martinzender.com. You'll see a bunch of great tabs on the left. You'll see the Martin Zender Dan Sheridan Show. Check that out. We were on the radio in Indianapolis and in four other major U.S. cities, kicking ass and eventually getting tossed off the air. You'll also find the all-new Martin Zender Dan Sheridan Show, which is basically me, and get into a great series on Hebrews. Anyway, you'll find all that on my homepage, martinzender.com. Download it all on your MP3s. It is good stuff. But for now, I'm here in the studio once again with Mark Haukes, lovingly known as The Pirate, and great comments on yesterday's show. Thank you, Saints, for letting us know that you love it and you want more, and we left you in suspense. One of the commenters said, I am not snatched away yet. Are you upset about that? You seem upset about it. So am I. But God knows the exact time, even though I think he's missed his cue on several occasions, but not really. All timing is perfect. So The Pirate left off yesterday with the snatching away, a little preliminary information and action concerning the greatest event since the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the next big thing on God's calendar. It is the snatching away of the body of Christ, taking the living as they stand, joining them with the dead in Christ over the last 2,000 years, and then taking them both at the same time, invisible to the citizens of earth, the normal citizens of earth were the abnormal ones, taking us to meet Jesus Christ himself, the one who died and rose for our sakes, to meet him in the air and to ever be with him. He's going to take us to our home like an elevator going up, you know, second floor, ding, ding, ding. We're going to rise and rise and rise, and each floor is going to be more spectacular than the next, and we're going to get to the 38th floor, and he's going to say, you ain't seen nothing yet. Ding, 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 ding. On we go, up, 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 up to invisible realms, realms celestial, the likes of which eye is not seen and ear is not heard, and that's where we're heading, and it could be today. So we got to hurry up and get the show done, because we suspect, both of us, that the snatching away could occur 2.5 minutes from now. Mark, do you remember
your question? Yeah. Where did this song come from? Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. Anyway, it's
I don't know. Where does that come from? Is that Jesus Christ Superstar?
No, Disneyland. Disneyland, the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. But we have to pile drive through this, and maybe it's fitting that after this show, I'm jetting off to Atlanta and then Virginia.
How could you do this to me?
And so,
how could you leave me?
But I mean,
stranded here.
All things are of God. I mean, I'm jetting off. I mean,
yeah, I'm stranded at the Southern Outpost.
It's a parable of heading off. So anyway, we had the pile drive through this.
We're not doing too good so far.
So just going quickly through the reasons or factors or indicators that we're close to the snatching away. Number one is the alignment of nations against Israel. Ezekiel prophesied of a certain alignment of nations against Israel in the last days. Now, scholars disagree in some of the particulars, but basically some of the participants would include Russia, Iran, and Turkey. You can read about this in Ezekiel 38, 1 through 8. In verse 8 it says, in the latter years you will go against the land that is restored from war, the land whose people were gathered from many peoples upon the mountains of Israel, which had been a continual waste. Its people were brought out from the peoples and now dwell securely among them. And significantly, Russia, Iran, and Turkey have a treaty among them. Number two.
Really? Well, wait. This is too good to go race past. This is, scripture has been fulfilled. And do you think when Ezekiel talks about Israel being gathered from other nations, you think that refers to 1948 when Israel became a state?
I do too.
But people disagree with that because they think, well, that's not the true gathering of Israel. I know. It's the false gathering of Israel. I know. of course, it's not the true gathering of Israel, but it's still a necessary alignment, a necessary political alignment for the events of the end times to take place.
And Ezekiel prophesied of this over 2,500 years in advance.
Ezekiel was a badass.
Indeed he was. Number two, Jerusalem is a source of contention for the entire world. We read of this in Zechariah 12, 1 through 3. And I will highlight verse 3, on that day I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all peoples. All who lift it will surely hurt themselves, and all nations of the earth will gather against it. The proof that Jerusalem is a heavy stone for all nations is the wars, terrorist attacks, and skirmishes fought in Israel since Israel became a nation in 1948. And as of 2013, the United Nations Human Rights Council had condemned Israel in 45 resolutions, which is 45.9% of all country-specific resolutions passed. And you know that the Middle East is a tinderbox, and the flashpoint is Jerusalem, undeniably.
Yeah, that's an amazing stat. I did not know that. People hate Israel without a cause. I mean, it's anti-Semitism, and I think it's based on the fact that, well, they did kind of like crucify the Messiah. You think that's the root of all anti-Semitism?
Well, could be, yeah.
I mean, and I have a theory, too. I'll just say this quickly, that misogyny, people who hate women for some stupid reason, but I think it's because people hold Eve in their collective mind responsible for bringing everyone into sin and death.
Yeah, subconsciously or even consciously.
I think it's all related to God's stuff, Israel crucifying Messiah. But, of course, women have long since redeemed themselves. Anyway, number three, go.
Number three. The book of Revelation and the book of Daniel describe the world as composed of 10 regions. And they prophesied of the world being divided into these 10 regions. And horns in Daniel and Revelation speak of power, especially a political power. Yeah. We read of this in Daniel 7:7, talking about this this beast that had 10 horns. And then in Revelation 12:3, and another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns on his heads, 7 diadems. In 1978, the Club of Rome proposed that the New World Order include the division of the world into 10 economic trading blocks.
Really?
In 1973, in its report, Regionalized and Adaptive Model of the Global World System, the Club of Rome produced the first map of the world broken into 10 regions. At Rio de Janeiro in 1992, the globalists laid out their plan for the 21st century, and part of the plan includes 10 regions.
And these people don't even know what they're doing. Don't even know what they're saying. I've never heard of the Club of Rome. That's so fascinating. They have no idea they're fulfilling scripture. They're doing their own thing. Ten's a magic number for these globalists, I guess.
What happened in the first century with the crucifixion of Christ that Pilate and Herod didn't know, but as Peter said, it was according to what the foreknowledge and counsel of God?
Yes. Actually, it's a counsel and foreknowledge of God, but I think both of those work.
Yeah. And Agenda 21 is a comprehensive plan of action that is to be implemented on worldwide, national, and local levels by the United Nations, governments of the world, and major organizations in every area where people have an impact on the environment. More than 178 governments at the United Nations Conference on Environment and Development approved the plan.
Okay, hang on 1 second. Now, just quickly, Agenda 21, I'll probably have to blank that out as I say it, right? Because that's one of the key things that we might have to edit out. But can you explain that in a nutshell? Does that have to do with global warming and using global warming as a power grab?
Yes, that's part of it. Yeah, and you know that they want to lessen the carbon footprint. But what they don't tell you is that we are carbon-based life forms.
And I forgot about that. We need carbon. What the
so
hell?
So it's a backhanded or very subtle way of saying reduce carbon emissions. How do you do that? Get rid of all these carbon-based life forms.
Yeah, and not to mention strip human race of technology, cause more death, because it seems like they need carbon to keep warm in the winter. People die. carbon is life. I'm sorry, but carbon is life. The more carbon, the more life. And we're a carbon life form.
Yes.
So the first they want to get rid of cows because of the flatulence, and then they want to get rid of us. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And these regions appear to be North America, Europe, Japan. Well,
now, hang on. What, now, refresh our memory. What regions are these? What are these nations doing? Are they signed into the agenda?
I mean, this is the way they appear to be dividing the earth into 10 regions.
Oh, okay. These are the 10 regions. Go.
Yeah.
Go.
So number one, North America, which include Canada and the United States. Number two, Europe. Number three, Japan. Number four, South Africa and Australia. Number five, Russia. Number six, Central and South America. Number seven, North Africa. Number eight, Central Africa. Number nine, Southeast Asia. And 10, China. So this stuff is already in the works, and it just is another indicator that we're close to the fulfillment of these prophecies in both yes. Daniel and the book of the unveiling of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Number four, the mark of the beast. The purpose of the mark of the beast is to confirm each person's identification with and allegiance to humanity's ultimate expression of self-government to the exclusion of its creator. The precursor conditions for the mark of the beast are now in place. And even though we may not know exactly what it is, I'm not claiming to know exactly, the precursor conditions are here. And a lot of people, even, I heard, you know, one unbeliever say, concerning these things, and he said, "Hey, isn't this stuff in the book of Revelation?" So even he,
I know. I know. A lot of people say, "This sounds familiar." You can't buy or sell without a mark. Okay, so give us the precursor conditions.
Okay, so some of the precursors that you can see in the interplay would be the dominant use of cashless payments by credit cards, Apple Pay, and other means. Biometric identification by means of face scans.
Yeah.
Implantable microchips,
yep.
Digital passports,
yep.
Digital biometric identification,
check.
Digital currency,
check.
Quantum dot tattoos.
I've heard about it.
Via Senior Gates. And finally, digital decoder rings in Europe used instead of cash. And finally, technological infrastructure and a surveillance society.
None of this stuff. Correct me if I'm wrong. None of this stuff was even available 10 years ago, the technology.
No. I mean, some of it was.
Probably the
implantable microchips for dogs. But I mean, yeah. Everything, all the rivers are flowing together now.
Yeah, and fast, too. And the first verse of Revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ, is these things must take place swiftly. When they start happening, it's going to fall like dominoes, and it's going to just boom, 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 boom. No more of this slow pace, no more sluggishness, no more waiting years for the fulfillment. This is a matter of days.
Yeah.
This stuff's happening now in days.
Yeah, you can go to, I'm sure some of your audience, which is the best audience in the world that knows.
Smartest, too.
You know, the gospel has some fantastic comments and questions. They're probably familiar with some of these things, but you can go on YouTube or some other platform and see, for example, a video from maybe 4 or 5 years ago of people in Sweden having implantable chips. And they feature, of course, this beautiful Swedish woman getting a chip and kind of seducing people into thinking, hey, this is a cool thing to do. I mean, if this beautiful woman is getting it, then I ought to get it. And so it shows her getting the chip. I mean, it's disgusting.
Do you know what that reminds me of? The cult prostitutes. They used women back in the day, right, to align men with a foreign deity. And so they take one of the most impulsively attractive things on the earth, the female, and then they combine it with these illicit and forbidden foreign gods, and it's a potent cocktail, and people are just sucked into it. They're doing the same thing today. I didn't realize this. They're using women with these commercials showing how wonderful it can be. Come with me, join me in the taking of this microchip that's the worship of the beast. Of course, they don't say that.
Yeah, it's like the story of Balaam.
Yeah.
And how he instructed the king how to lure Israel to its own demise with the beautiful women. And
is that what one of the things he said? His whole idea, Balaam said, you can't come at them directly. You just lure them away with attractions of the flesh. Is that right?
Yeah, that's my recollection of the story, isn't it?
Yeah.
Number five. And I don't know if we need to, how we're going to do this one, but I'll do my best.
We're going to do it.
The worldwide pharmaceutical tyranny.
Oh, I see. Yeah, you got to be careful what to say here.
CV-19er.
Yes.
Coming in.
Yes.
For landing. CV-19er.
It's landed.
The world is, in my opinion, and the opinion of many others, experiencing a silent holocaust. The numbers from the various reporting system in the United States shows that maybe 21,000 Americans have died as a result of the VC, and that number can be multiplied at least by 10 to 40, according to Columbia and Harvard, and that's just the United States. So worldwide, what are the numbers? No one knows. It could well be, as some have suggested, in the tens of millions, which, I mean, 60 million died in World War II. So are we even halfway there? I mean, we're facing a civilization-ending event.
And they're doing it on purpose. Yeah. That's the shock. That's the thing you can hardly wrap your head around. I just heard recently someone posited that it'll be 30 million dead in the next 3 years.
I've heard
because of the cure.
Yeah, I'd say that's a conservative figure.
Yeah, probably.
And then, intriguingly, in Revelation 18:23, mentions that all nations were deceived by your sorcery. The word for sorcery is the Greek word pharmakeia.
Wow, yeah.
Now, there's a broad view of the word. I mean, Adam Clark, the commentator of the 1700s, says, by thy sorceries, that is, political arts, state tricks, counterfeit miracles, and deceptive maneuvers of every kind. This may be spoken of by many great cities of the world, which still continue to flourish. And so I'm not dismissing that there's a whole panoply of things that may be involved, but Lo and Nida in their Greek lexicon say the use of magic often involving drugs and the casting of spells upon people.
And this is all from the Greek word
pharmakeia, from which we get the word pharmacy.
From which we get the word pharmacy.
And I think the danger is actually in subliteralizing the word pharmakeia.
Explain that.
In other words, if it possibly can be literal, let's interpret it literally.
Yeah, I'm all for that. Yeah, we have to.
And so are people being deceived by the CV-19er and and whatnot?
Yes.
I'd say so. And interesting books along this line. You could read a book by Jackie Lobb. Max.
You're saying a lot of words we might have to take out. Go ahead. Keep going.
Max Pfitzer.
Wow.
So, I'd say
you're giving me a lot of work in post, brother.
I'm sorry. I had to
go for it. You have to.
I had to go for it.
And I know.
I'm leaving on a jet plane.
Yeah, he's leaving on a jet plane. He's leaving me here to deal with the. Of course, I do. He's leaving me here to deal with the.
Don't know when I'll be back again.
Yeah, thanks. I got to mop up this mess.
Okay, number seven. You know that song. I have Georgia on my mind. Sing it.
I got Georgia on my mind. That's it. That's a perfect rendition. I don't know how anybody could miss it.
Okay. Is that Ray Charles? Or
I don't know. I'll go with Ray Charles.
Okay. Anyway, I have the Georgia Guidestones on my mind.
What's that?
You don't know?
No.
Well, the Georgia Guidestones are a granite monument. You can easily access this on the internet. That was erected in 1980 in Elbert County, Georgia, with 10 guidelines. And the first guideline says, quote, maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature, unquote.
What? What?
And they don't know who erected these monuments, but, I mean, they should send a chill down anyone's spine. What I'm saying is that mindset for depopulation, it's here.
You're saying that it's been around a while. Was that the whole thing in 1930s Germany with eugenics and Hitler? Yes. They wanted to get rid of the least...
And actually, it was
desirable citizens.
Some of the intellectuals who were killed first. And then, of course, they got rid of, and gypsies, homosexuals.
It's weird. They kill on both ends of the spectrum. They have to kill the intellectuals because they're the ones making sense of everything and exposing the evil. And then they kill the bottom of the so-called rung of humanity, the undesirables, the sick, the weak, the stupid, the same exact people Jesus Christ calls into his body. That's the difference between humans and God. One of the many differences.
Yeah. Number eight would be the whole transhumanism movement. After many people have rejected humanity as composed of two sexes, essentially a sexually dimorphic species, they fling the door open to changing the whole nature of humanity. That flies in the face of what God has created, you know, the created order. And so there's a mass rebellion in that respect, and it throws open the door to the merger of man and machine. Man sees.
Is that even possible? I know they're trying to do it. I know they want to do it, but is it physically possible? Doesn't God draw the line somewhere?
Yes, and I mean they're not going to be successful. Some of these globalists believe, with their acid trips on LSD or DMT or ayahuasca, and other such things, they go on group trips. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
And they claim that interdimensional beings or demons have revealed to them plans for the implementation of some of these things. And
part's probably true.
They believe that Lucifer will grant them immortality.
Yeah.
And so it's the complete opposite of the plan of God. Lucifer thinks he's gonna he lies and tells people this is how you can have immortality because, as you know, Martin, mankind is held in the throes of the fear of death.
Yes.
And so this is, you might say, it's the fulcrum that the devil is using to herd people in this direction.
It's the ultimate bowl of candy. You won't die.
Yeah. And so man ceases to be in relationship to God and now places himself as the slave of artificial intelligence. And, you can see Spielberg's movie AI on this, for example. But God is not going to permit the full implementation of this anti-God plan.
No, he's not going to. No, it can't come to fruition. They can dream it all they want, but it ain't going to happen.
Yeah. Number nine, and this is intriguing. The globalists have a target date of 2030 for the implementation of what is called agenda. Now, biblical scholars differ concerning the dates of Jesus' baptism in the River Jordan and his death. However, many of them see the span of dates for Jesus' death as falling between A.D. 27 and 34. I mean, I'm not picking a certain date, but I mean, it's interesting. I mean, there are a number of scholars who say that he died in the year 30. And I'm sure, I mean, globalists being versed in history, they're probably familiar with this basic historical time frame regarding Christ and aim to preclude the second coming and institute their own millennium. I mean, it's crazy.
So you think that's why they picked the 30, the 2030?
I think it's possible.
It is possible.
Because, I mean, it's in that range when Jesus either began his ministry or consummated his ministry with his suffering on the cross. Mm-hmm. And you can see page 359 of Jack Finnegan's book, Handbook of Biblical Chronology, section 616, concerning the span of dates. It's very very thorough book in this regard. So Playing God, the Super Globalists, perhaps only about 100 to 200 in number, plan to implement an extinction-level event by 2030. And it's hard to wrap our heads around it because we project our basic level of people reject, they project their own level of goodness and sanity upon people in positions of power, not realizing that these are high-functioning sociopaths and psychopaths, and they don't regard humanity in the same way at all.
Wow.
And they call this plan the 20th development. And on the surface, the 20th is a roadmap for social, environmental, and economic goals, but it's being rolled out now in the form of the Great Reset.
I was just going to ask that. Is that another name for this?
Yes,
crap?
I mean, it falls into the same, it's on the same boat, and they're headed in, and you can read ad nauseum about this at the World Economic Forum website, where they talk about the Great Reset and all the groups that are seeking to implement it. I mean, it's staggering. And then, intriguingly, Terminator 2, which Judgment Day, is set in the year 2029, when the machines have their war.
When did that movie come out?
I want to say that it was in the late 80s.
Probably, yeah.
I think so. And Blade Runner 2049. Pictures a devastated United States,
well, there's a lot of those elitists who are Hollywood based.
Yes, and they're getting the inside baseball from the CIA and other people in the know. I mean, we were talking at breakfast about Leonardo DiCaprio, and he goes to the events at Davos. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is all out there in the open for people.
He should have just stuck with Kate Winslet.
that's another story.
Yeah.
Number 10. And that is any indicators that we can get from typology. As I said before, we don't build doctrine on typology, but sometimes there are intriguing things that play out in history. Just as Martin and I were talking about the death of Jesus portrayed through Abraham taking Isaac to slay him, and it didn't play out in every detail because it wasn't a knife, it was a cross, but it was a portrayal of his crucifixion.
Yeah.
And so in Joshua 3:1-4, and it talks about Israel getting ready to enter into the promised land. And it says in verse 4, yet there shall be a distance between you and it, meaning the Ark of the Covenant, about 2,000 cubits in length. And it's an intriguing reference, and you wonder what's going on here.
Now, wait a minute. Are you telling me this is the distance that was supposed to be kept by the ordinary people and the Ark of the Covenant?
The Ark of the Covenant.
Almost like social distancing, except it's covenantal distancing.
Yeah, covenantal distancing.
Is that what we're looking at here?
Yeah, so the Ark of the Covenant goes first into the Jordan River, and it parts. And the Ark of the Covenant typifies Christ, even as a tabernacle typifies Christ. And then the Jordan represents his death, how he went into death first. Mm-hmm. Then the priests are 2,000 cubits behind. And you could say that roughly 2,000, it says about 2,000 cubits. So there's, I guess, a little wiggle room. And it's intriguing. I think it's a typological representation from Christ's death until, what would you say, the body of Christ, or more likely Israel enters their promised land.
I think
in
it's
the
more likely
age.
Israel, that this is typology concerning Israel. However, if Israel, their fulfillment coming into the promised land is 2,000 years subsequent to the death entombment, resurrection of Christ, then our calling is sooner.
Yes, and so let's say...
we have to be out of here before that,
yeah,
most definitely.
Let's say that Jesus died in the year 30,
yeah, okay,
for example.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not clinging to it, but I'm just proposing it. 7 years back from that is 2023, and so 2030, God's agenda is fulfilled with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. And, and that means...
You're talking 2023. It's now 2022.
Yeah.
That's exciting, man.
I'm not saying thus says the Lord. I'm just putting all these pieces on the table. And I don't think it's 2080, 2090, no, or as some of these pastors and others were talking about, 500 years from now, 7,000 years from now. No, I mean, we're in that zone. And I guess a final point that I would make, Martin, is that when we think about it, we're in the zone in the sense that technology, even 10 or 20 years from now, will far outstrip what we see in the book of Revelation. In other words, right now we have a very a growing, tighter correspondence between technology and... in Scripture, and so we can't go far, far beyond the technology. That it's as though God has placed a cap on it.
Wow, that is a point I have never considered. That we think that Revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ, is looking at things that only a super duper pinnacle type technology could accomplish. But what you're saying is, if mankind continued on this exponential ascendancy in producing technology, in a few short years, it would be beyond the technology that the unveiling of Jesus Christ is calling for. So we're not in this sweet spot, in this window, where if it was any 5 years earlier, the technology would not be there. And if it was 5 years later, the technology would exceed that and would be gone on to some total other plane besides that which is required for these things in the unveiling to be fulfilled. Yeah. So am I getting that right?
Right.
That's fantastic. I never thought of that.
It can't be 1975, because the technology for all these things for the Mark of the Beast was just not, couldn't be implemented. But likewise, when we move into these waters now, this general time frame, we're seeing a correspondence, and of course you have a lot of people, even unbelievers, who are saying, isn't this Mark of the Beast stuff in the book of Revelation? And they get it.
I know. That is really, that's so insightful. That's so insightful. Even the average Joe on the street, the average Joe and the average Jill on the street, they're like, this is Revelation stuff.
Okay, wrapping up, because I have to leave on a jet plane soon, and I want to be snatched away out of the Sea of Leon.
Well, you're going to have a head start on us if the snatching away happens while you're at 30,000 feet.
I shared with Martin this morning a song from 1965, sung by Barry McGuire, On the Eve of Destruction. And if he could sing that now, then, how much more so now? And I'd say also we're on the eve of extraction out of this evil, present wicked eon.
I like it.
Galatians 1:4. In 1965, during the tumultuous 60s, Bob Dylan wrote a song called Desolation Row. And one line is, the Titanic sails at dawn. The news today is that the Titanic has struck the iceberg, and wisdom means looking for the nearest lifeboat.
Which is Paul's gospel.
You beat me to the punch. For those chosen, the lifeboat is a message found written by the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4:15 through 17, about being those who are alive and are left, being caught up together.
Read it word for word. It's
okay.
So beautiful.
For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, and I want to be alive, and I want to see this, experience it, taste it, who are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen.
I think that's a high note. Wow. Okay. Mark, thank you for your labors. Obviously, you've done the Lord's work there, and you brought it to us. We're the ones that are the next great thing on God's agenda. God has his own agenda, which is beautiful and pure and holy, sacred, and we're in on it. And it's an amazing thing. Like I always told you, ladies and gentlemen, it's like winning the lottery. The Titanic is a true analogy. Titanic sails at dawn. These globalists think that it's dawn of a new era. How wrong can they be? It is the end of an old era. The new era begins with us, the body of Christ. Mark, thank you.
And when you think about it, I mean, it's kind of sad to think. But I mean,
what?
Kate Winslet made it, but Leonardo, he sank like a stone.
I like that ending. That's the way it should be. Kate Winslet should make it, and Leonardo DiCaprio should sink. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.